Praise the Lord. Oh, it's good to be here, brother and sister. I tell you what, seems like forever since I was here. It has been, I guess, and I miss you. It's just good to be back, good to be here, and excited. God is just, he's just amazing. God is amazing. I tell you what, he's just a good God. He's good all the time. Through the good times and the bad times, he's still a good God. Amen. And all he wants us to do is just believe that he's going to take care of us. And so songs we sing and we praise him, we worship him. We need to make sure that's not just something we do as a duty, something we do just as a religion, but it's from our heart because we realize that he's the God of grace. He's crowned with, whose praise is he crowned with? It's us. If we're not praising him, he has no praise. He inhabits the praises of his saints. Oh my goodness, that should get us to praise him and come and worship and create such an atmosphere that when the minister comes out like this, there's such an atmosphere. It's just the Holy Spirit is here. He says, I'm ready now. I want to talk to my bride. I got something I want you to hear. Isn't he good? Amen. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful we could come here this morning, Lord, and just the atmosphere that's been created already by the worship of the saints, Lord. And we come here, Lord, not just a religious duty or not just to be socially active or something, but Father, we come here because we want to hear your word spoken to us. We want to hear your voice. We want a greater revelation of who you are in our lives so that we can show the world, we can show everyone, we can show the devil who we are, Lord Jesus, that we are here. We are a different race of people. We are here to manifest Jesus Christ in a way that's never been done before by a group of people on the earth in the entire history of humanity. And yet, Lord, we recognize that's what we have been called for. And today, Lord Jesus, we ask that you would just take the word and just bring us closer to that reality. Let it be such a reality in each heart that as we accept it and believe it, Father, and that we can see Jesus Christ the same today as you always have been. We ask this, Lord, in your name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you want to turn to Acts 19:13, we're going to start with reading a little scripture here. Acts 19, we're going to read about 5 verses there. It says it's Acts 19:13. It says this, then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them, which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. And there are 7 sons of Sceva, a Jew, a chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews in Greece also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. You may be seated this morning. Fear of the Lord came upon them because why? They saw the reality that this was not playing church. These people, these sons of Sceva, they want to be out. Well, we want a ministry like Paul had. We want to go out and show what great power we have. We want people to look at us as something. And that spirit looked at them and said, you have no authority to try to cast us out. And you better quit playing around because you're going to find yourself in a mess that you can't handle. Can I just say, Message Believers 2022, you're going to find yourself in a mess you can't handle if we continue to play church. Amen. When Christ appeared, it always raises questions. Who are you? And today I want to ask the question, the name of this message is the devil's question. The devil's question. And the devil's question is he always wants to find out, well, who is this person? And he sees you growing up, you're a child, you grow up, he says, I want to see who this person is. I want to see what this is all about. I want to see if this person is predestinated. I want to see if they're a believer, because you know what? I can get everybody. I've got everybody ever since Adam fell. I got everyone until Jesus Christ, but I can get everybody to fall. I can tempt them. I can deceive them. I can do whatever I want to get them to a place where they are going to doubt who they are. In The identity crisis in today's world is pandemic. It's all over the world. It's way more than COVID. People don't know who they are anymore. They can't identify their gender. They can't identify their race. They can't identify what they believe. They can't identify everything. They call themselves fluid. They call themselves all this stuff because there's an identity crisis. And brother and sister, if that's going on out there in the world, you can better believe it's happening right here in our church too. People trying to decide, who am I really? And brother and sister, when the bride knows who she is, that's when the rapture goes. So we cannot put this off and say, well, someday I'll figure it out. One day if God comes and he does this for me, brother and sister, you have to know who you are or you're not going anywhere except the tribulation period. You must know who you are, friends, and you have to have the evidence. You have to see it. It's not just something that, well, it's just, I hear so many people, they take, well, if this is true, if God has really did this, if, you got to stop with the if. Who do you think you are? If you're ifing, you're still on the fence trying to figure out if you believe or not. If Brother Jerry is a pastor here, if he is, then maybe he's going to preach it to the rapture. You're not going anywhere you want to go with that kind of attitude, friends. You have to know who you are. You have to know God put you in this church. You have to know you're supposed to sit under the ministry God gave us. And you're supposed to know that you have to know that one day, because you take God at his word, you have the authority of the word, and you're going to speak your own body, and you're going to take a rapture, and you're going to get out of here. But you can't do that with an if. Oh my. Jesus came, I'm sorry, Satan. He's always asking that question. He came to Jesus. He saw Jesus, he had a strange, peculiar birth. He saw him grow up, he had a strange, peculiar life, but he could not believe that that could be the Messiah, because in Satan's mind, the Messiah had to be some great general or some great, wonderful person. You know how you know that? Because that's what his kids think. They still think so today. Those priests said, we can't have this for a Messiah. A guy born with a bad birth, a guy so humble like this, that can't be our Messiah. We're not going to accept this Messiah. Why? Because they got that right from Satan's mind. And Satan looked at that humble man, but he saw the Holy Ghost come down on Jordan. He saw it indwell that person. He said, well, let me go and check this guy out, because I can't believe it would be so humble. That's why we still sit with so many ifs, because it's still so humble. So he takes him, he goes out, and Satan's out, and Jesus is out in the wilderness for 40 days, and he's hungry. And Satan comes to me, he says, if thou be the Son of God. If thou be. Oh my, I'm gonna just sit here a little bit. You know why? Satan hated that, he still hates it. Because he know he got his feathers singed by about 10,000 volt. You know why? Because Jesus went to the Word, and he didn't go to his gifts. You know, Satan get other prophets and great men to go to their gifts. He went. He got Moses to go to his gift and smote the rock twice, right? Because he had a gift to do that. He had great faith, and he was frustrated. So he gave in to his frustration. And how many other people? Look at Elijah. He calls the fire down and burns those people. Elijah, he calls the bears out and eats those kids, kills those kids. Why? Because he could get them to act in their own emotion. But when he came to Jesus, and Jesus was hungry, and Jesus had the same feelings and the same temptation we do. But what did Jesus do? He did not go to his great gifts. He had gifts. He could have done anything that Satan told him to do. And yet, he took the word, and he had the authority of the word, and he sent Satan's tail feathers and sent him back to hell. Why did he do it that way? Because that's exactly how he said, this is how I want you to overcome. Not with some gift, not with some power, but with the authority of the word, because you recognize who you are. The only reason Jesus could do that, because he recognized who he was. He said he saw himself in the scripture, and he went out and performed what the Messiah was supposed to do. And Brother Branham said the bride does the same thing. You see yourself in the scripture, and you go out and perform. You are killing me. You perform exactly what the bride is supposed to do, because you recognize yourself, and you know that you have the authority of the word to back you up. The Jews came to Jesus and said, how long dost thou make us doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. You know what? He said, I told you. I told you, and you believed not.
The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. I told you, but they didn't want to hear it because he didn't answer the way they wanted. It couldn't be him because they could not accept that kind of a ministry. You believe not because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. My sheep know my voice and I know them and they know me. They know it when I speak, they hear the voice, and they say, oh, that's the voice of Jesus Christ. That's not the voice of Jerry Browning. That's not the voice of William Branham. That's not the voice of Phil Bontrager. That's not the voice of my husband or my wife or my dad or my mom. But it's Jesus Christ speaking, and I recognize that voice. Yeah, I called you. It ain't just the ministry has the voice of God. Each individual member of the bride has the voice of God. You have the authority of the word to speak the word. You have thus saith the Lord, or you keep still. And when you take and you go to your kid and you're going to bring a correction to the kid and you do it in love, recognize that that's God speaking to you, to that kid. And that kid is recognizing, this is how God treats me. And if I don't treat my kid right, then that kid's not going to believe God's going to treat him right either. And if I don't have time to spend with my kid, God don't have time to spend with me either. He's hanging on the cross. If thou be the Son of God, come on down off of there. Satan's question. Still can't believe it. Still doubting it. Still trying to get these people to disbelieve. Always asking the question, and you know he comes to you just about what? Every day? If you are a son of God, why do you still struggle with these addictions? Why do you still struggle with sin? Why do you still have this bad attitude? Why do you still yell at Sister Susie and tell her she can't cook right? Why do you have these bad attitudes if thou be a son of God? You know what the problem is? Many times we don't go to the word and use it to defeat, and we go to arguing or fussing or word, and we get all tore up about it, and we get all disbelieving and doubting and all kinds of junk going on. Why? Because we're not taking the example that Jesus Christ gave it. You know why we don't? Because we still doubt who we are. Oh, he's going to keep coming. You know, I said, you know, when he left Jesus, he departed from him for a season. You don't defeat Satan one time, and he said, well, I guess I'm going to not touch you anymore. He'll be back. He'll be back. This is a constant battle, friends. Are you willing to fight it? Amen. Let's keep moving along. So Jesus went out from that temptation there in the wilderness. He started performing things. He started healing the sick, raising the dead, feeding the hungry, doing all these kind of things. And one day he went over to, in Matthew 28, he said, went over to the country of the Gergesenes. Sometimes it's called Gadarenes. Hang on a second, I'm just going to pull that up. I recommend you turn to that. Matthew 8, 28. It's just such a great thing here. I want to read this. All right, it says, when he was, Matthew 8:28, he was come to the other side of the country of the Gergesenes. There met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. Now, there's about, I think all four Gospels, at least three of them have this story. They tell a difference. Sometimes this person's called, one person's called Legion. It's the same story. It's just that they tell a different way. And for all those people who want to look at Brother Brandon's message and say, well, he said it here one way different. He said it here a different way. It's the same thing in the Bible, you religious person. And behold, they cried, saying, listen, the devils are still asking questions. They're just different questions. What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Look at that. They don't want nothing to do with him because they recognize that he came in the authority of the word. They're still asking questions, but it's different. They're not saying, if thou be the Son of God. They knew he was the Son of God. They confessed he was the Son of God. The priests and the Pharisees were calling him a devil. The devils were calling him God. That's what religion gets for you, friends. That's what religion will do, is get you to the place where you don't even recognize God anymore. You think he's three people in a Trinity. You think he's a prophet. You think all these different things. You think he lives in Jeffersonville. Brother and sister, that's what religion, it'll blind your eyes to who he really is. Art thou come here to torment us before the time? Look, another question. Another question. What are you doing? Are you going to torment us before it's time for our torment? We know it's coming. The devils know torment is coming for them. And he said, what are you going to do? Torment us before it? And yes, the answer for us is, yes, I am. You've tormented me enough in my life. I'm going to turn the tables on you. And yes, devil, I am here to cast you out, and I'm going to torment you. You don't have to sit there and get kicked around by the devil all the time, friends. You don't have to live in some depression. You don't have to live in some kind of mental state where you can't hardly think, where everything is worry and fear and stress. You can have dominion over all that. Show me one point in the Bible where Jesus ever worried. In Gethsemane, he wasn't worried. He didn't want to go through it, but he sat there. He looked it right in the face and said, you know what? If I can't have to do this, then I'm going to do this. Oh, Phil, you need to stop worrying. That was for me, by the way. And there was a good way off from them and heard of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him. Again, they're asking him. The devils are asking him for permission. Oh, listen to what they say. If thou cast us out. There wasn't even a question if he's going to do it, if he could or not. The question, those devils recognize that if you want to cast us out, we got no say about it. You have no say. You can cast that devil out if you want to. That devil has nothing to say about it. He has to go if you have the authority of the word. There's no question. Do we believe who we are? They never said, Jesus, can you cast us out? They said, if you're going to do it. The works that I do shall you do also. In my name you shall cast out devils. You will speak in tongues. You will tread on serpents. You will do whatever the Holy Spirit asks you to do and leads you to do. And the devil can't do nothing to stop you. He can't stop you. He couldn't stop Jesus. He cannot stop you. If it's time to cast out a devil, then that devil has got to leave. When Peter and John were walking down and they came to that man at the gate and they said, silver and gold have I none. What I have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ. Get up and walk. And you know what that devil did? He never said peep. He just stepped right out of that man. He said, okay, I give up. I have nothing to say, because they had the authority of the anointed word and they were speaking what the word said, and that devil never even said boo. He just went away. Do you know who you are? Do you recognize who you are? What you have been called to be? Do you recognize the authority of the word in the mouth of the bride of Jesus Christ? Oh, if thou castest out, sufferest to go away into the hurtest wide. You know what Jesus said? He said, go. He didn't have a prayer meeting. He didn't get all anointed and jump about and shout and cast out the devil. I'm not saying nothing about that. Sometimes that spirit comes on you and you preach it. I mean, you're praying, it's very anointed. That's fine. That anointing, that prayer, that doesn't cast out the devil. It's faith. You know that you're standing on the authority of the word, and that devil cannot stand there. How many times do we put up with junk we don't have to put up with because we don't believe who we are? Well, I guess I just have to suffer with this. I guess you will. And look, God doesn't always come and do it just like that. You know, you pray about something and 10 years later, you're still believing. Absolutely. But do you get discouraged and doubt who you are? Well, Satan comes, well, if you really had faith, Brother Paul, you know that. Shut up. Tell that devil to shut up. If I didn't have faith, what you howling me about? Why don't you just leave me alone then? That devil knows he's going to leave, and at the right time, he's like holding on by his fingernails. You ever see, he's hanging off this sheer cliff wall about 500 feet in the air, and his fingernails, oh my goodness, I'm going to fall. Yes, you are. You're right, you're going to fall. You're going to leave. Ask permission. They ask permission from him. When they recognize, see, that's the problem with those sons of Sceva. That demon, he looked at them and said, they don't have the authority of the word. Why? They didn't know him. They didn't know Jesus Christ. All they could say is, well, yeah, the Christ that Paul preaches. How many times, message believers, we would be in the same situation. They say, I'm a message believer. I believe the prophet. And I pray for your healing. I ask for your healing in the name of Jesus Christ, who Brother Branham preached. In the name of Jesus Christ, who Brother Jerry preaches. That devil sits there like, are you done? Go away. And he tells us to go. Because there's no faith in it. Because you have to know who you are. You have to know Jesus Christ personally. You have to have that revelation in your heart that you know exactly who you are and you're standing on the authority of the word. And without that revelation, that devil is going to laugh in your face. See what happened there when Satan came about Jesus there in the wilderness, he found out he had met the second Adam, a man who couldn't be deceived. He wasn't Eve. In paradise, Eve could be deceived. In paradise, Adam couldn't. Out in the desert, in that temptation, Jesus couldn't be deceived. And right here in Satan's Eden, in Satan's paradise, he's running up into someone else who can't be deceived. We're a super race. That just blows my mind. This is a race of people who the opening of the seals, the return of the word, the perfection of the word is producing a race of people who cannot be deceived. We're singeing his tail feathers. We're singeing everything about him. He's like charred by now. Why? Because you are that race of people, friends. The problem is, let me just jump real quick on this. I'm going to spend a lot of time. But spirit, it's amnesia. We forget who we are. And you know how we forget who we are? There's a lot of things that cause it. Sometimes it's a shock. You go through something, have like a PTSD, and you forget your purpose. You forget what you're here for. You forget what you're here, that you're here to be the bride of Christ. You forget the power that we have and the authority of the word. Sometimes it says, Brother Branham said that amnesia comes when you're torn between opinions. You can't, well, am I a believer or am I not a believer? Because sometimes I live good and sometimes I don't live so good. And I'm kind of riding the fence. I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to do. And it causes you to forget who you are. Because I keep praying and praying, but I just can't live good enough. I keep praying. I can't overcome this. And what's happening, brother and sister, is you're standing there and you're looking at who this flesh, and you're looking at the strength. You're not looking at who you really are, which is an overcomer because the word has made you an overcomer. And if you just keep looking at your own flesh, you're never going to recognize who you are, and you get spiritual amnesia, and then you say, I just can't live this, and you walk out of church. How many people have left this church and left this message? I just can't live good enough. I just can't do it. What is it? It's spiritual amnesia because you're letting some kind of religious devil tell you who you are instead of the word telling you who you are. Let me read this. We find that spiritual amnesia gets a hold of people when they're in a bad condition. You must be identified. Somewhere you must show. Your life shows tonight where you are identified. You're either identified in Christ or out of Christ. You are not halfway. Satan will try to get you to halfway. He said, well, you're not quite there. You're not whatever. You're either all the way in Christ or you're all the way out. You're either born again or you're not. Amen, brother. There's no such thing as a drunk, sober man. There's no black, white bird. You're either saved or you're not saved. There's no transgender. There's nothing of that sort. You either are a man or you're a woman. You are the believer or you're not a believer. You know who you're identified exactly by who you are. You're either saved or you're not saved. You're a saint or a sinner, one or the other. And your spiritual attitude towards God's word identifies you exactly where you're standing. Your spiritual attitude towards God's word identifies where you are this morning as we sit in here. Your spiritual attitude. What does that mean? What does that mean, a spiritual attitude? When the word comes and there's something inside you that says amen, no matter if you like it or not. See, the Holy Spirit will always say amen to the word. And when your attitude and your mind up here resist it, and every one of us, sometimes the word comes and we resist it for whatever reason. But something inside takes over and says, shut up, Phil. It's still the truth. Amen. That's your spiritual attitude. Amen. God's word vindicated, proved. That the baptism of the Holy Ghost is just the same as it ever was on the day of Pentecost or any other time. Your attitude towards that identifies whether you have spiritual amnesia or not. No matter where you're a deacon or you're a preacher, it doesn't make a difference. That they get it too. Preachers and deacons and everyone in church can get this too. It just takes a little bit of shock. It takes a little bit of time. We go through hard times. When you come going through a desert, we kind of forget. We lose that confidence. We start having doubts and fears because we're torn between all this junk. So you find out, listen to this. So what we find out is contagious. It hits the whole thing. Contagious. All I have to do is sit down with Brother Gene and start talking about my hardships and troubles and oh, his life is so hard and wowsy, wowsy, woo, and life is just, oh my goodness. You know what I'm doing? I'm testifying to him that Satan is greater than God, that I believe Satan over what God said. And if I won't fellowship with that, then he takes that spirit. You know what he's going to be doing? The same thing. That's why you be careful who you fellowship with. That's why you be, what spirit you fellowship with. Because if someone just wants to be negative or whatever, friends, I'm going to turn that around and say, you know what, brother? You need to start confessing some faith. I don't care. I'm sorry your hardship. But if you're going to feel sorry for yourself, I don't care. I care about your soul. I don't care about it if you want to sit there and feel bad and be a victim. Be a victim. Satan's got billions of victims out there. But you've been called to be an overcomer. Why don't you start acting like it? It's contagious. It gets in a church. Let me ask you something. Let me get off my subject a minute. What if you knew that the rapture was going to happen next Sunday morning? How would that change your life? How would it change your activities? What would you be doing different? Would you get serious? So if you get serious, it means you're not serious now? Would you find more time to pray? This kind of hurts. Would you have time to ignore the politics? Would you have time to ignore what's going on out there and focus on your relationship with Jesus Christ? Oh, so it would change the way we do things. It shouldn't. Now, there are some things, if I knew the rapture was going to be next Sunday, I wouldn't go to work. I'd probably go and blow out my credit card. I'm just playing. I wouldn't do that. Nobody knows it, friends, when it's going to happen. So we're supposed to act. We're supposed to live as if it's going to happen right now. And when we have time to do things besides what was enhancing our relationship with Jesus Christ, why? Because we don't believe. Oh, the world's going to go on. It's not going to happen next week, Phil. Surely I have time to watch the TV shows. Oh, we have time to be doing. What about loving Christ?
What time do I have? Oh, my, okay.
Let's talk about your identity. How do you identify yourself if you're born again? Brother Brown preached Token, I think three times, at least three. He said, now we're living in the shadows and the wrath is ready to strike. He said this in 1963. Well, that was 60 years ago or something like that. Next 2 years would be 60 years, I think. 60 years ago, he said, the wrath is ready to strike. Goodness sakes, relax. We got plenty of time. God's requiring a token that you yourself have received his token, the Holy Ghost. It's the only way, the only sign that God will ever pass and you go into rapture. The only way. You have to have the token. He said, because it is the literal life of Jesus Christ returned back into the believer. The literal life of Jesus Christ. The literal life. It's not gifts. It's not because you can preach or sing or shout or do anything. It's the literal life, and every one of us who's going in the rapture needs to have the literal life. The works that I did, will you do also? That does not mean that you have to go out to a lake and walk across the water to see if you can walk on water. It does not mean that you have to go and raise the dead personally. You don't have to do these things. You, what it means is to have the literal life is his testimony that I only do that which pleases the Father. You do that, and that's all he requires, because we all have a many manner of body. We have different ministries. One woman came to Brother Branham. She said, I fast and pray. I still can't cast out devils. He said, you are not born to cast out devils. Your job is to fast and pray so someone else can cast out devils. And let me just say this again. Any kind of success that the ministry at this church has comes because people out here are praying for it. You want to see more miracles in church? You want to see more power of God in church? You want to see more of God doing things and stuff? You need to start praying for the ministry. That's the truth, friends. Brother Branham said over and over, the success of my ministry, the success of these meetings, because people are praying. And they all, oh, Brother Branham. It was. That was what God used it, because other people were praying. And you know, the people that were saved, when it comes down to it, those people who are praying for that ministry are going to be given credit for those souls. Can you imagine you're walking along heaven someday? I don't know how this is going to be. But someone from Zimbabwe who comes up to you and says, you know what? Thank you. Because you prayed, my soul was saved. You prayed for that minister who went over there and preached me the gospel. You never even knew him, but you're going to have all kinds of credit for all this. Why? Because you prayed. You know why people don't pray? Because they don't know who they are. You know why people don't pray? They don't believe God will answer their prayer. And so why are you wasting time praying? Let me tell you something, friends. Your relationship with Jesus Christ is crucial. That's the only thing. That's what the token is. It shows that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Can I ask you another question? When's the last time someone came to you individually and asked you to pray for them? Why not? Why don't they ask you? Because they don't see a relationship between you and him. What's the point? That's the way it was with every believer today, filled with the Holy Ghost, a token that the shed blood of the Lamb, that life that was in the Lamb is returned back, is publicly sealed in there. And everybody passing by, talking to you, has any associated with you, is seeing that the blood has been applied. The token of the life that was in the blood is upon you. They see that relationship with Christ. They see that there's something different about you. They see that there's a reality. They see an attitude. They see a power. They see a humility, whatever it is that you're manifesting. But they see that there's something different, and they see it's a public show. They have two friends. One place, Brother said, you can't be a secret boy about the token. It's got to be on display. It's an individual. It's not a family. It's not a church. And the token isn't some, I apply the token to my family. What is that, some magic? Some magic word? That's not how you do it. Well, verbally, I apply the token to my family. They're all going to be saved. You have a fantasy world you're living in. Brother Brad said, to apply the token, you create such an atmosphere that they fall into it. They want what you have. That's not some kind of magic word that you say over them, but you live such a life of Christ that they see it. If there's something inside of them to be saved, they want what daddy has. They want what mama has. I want what my husband or wife has. Why? Because there's such an atmosphere around me. When Brother Brandon went to any place, people always want to be around him. He has created such an atmosphere. You must have that same atmosphere. You must have it. And when we get all tore up because this person hurt my feelings, or that person hurt my feelings, or something at work went wrong, and we get that wrong atmosphere, brother and sister, quit pretending the token's on display. Get it back. Yeah, you can grieve it away, but you get it back. The Holy Spirit, when you're sealed away, friends, it's there for good. You're sealed. And when you grieve it away, you get that thing back and you make that right with that person that you offended. You make it right with the person you offended. And if you're offended by them, get over yourself. You're not willing to bear offense for Jesus Christ? Jump for joy. Shout when they persecute you. So they persecuted their prophets before you. We get all down in our mully grubs and feel sorry for ourselves and have to lash back out and defend ourselves. Come on, friends. That's junior high school. It's an individual person. It's not your church. It's not your family. I got to say it, friends. I'm going to ask you a question. I want you, the first thing pops in your mind. Don't say it. Just the first thing pops in your mind. Why do you want to go to heaven? Because if the first thing popped in your mind, the reason you want to go to heaven is any other reason besides to see Jesus Christ, you don't know him very well. Well, I want to miss hell. Well, who doesn't? The devils want to miss hell. Well, I want to see my family more than Jesus Christ. You have an idol. Well, I want to see my mom and my dad. I do too. But if I find out my mom and dad are in hell, I'm not going to miss heaven for their sake. If the entire church goes backslides and you all go to hell, go ahead. I ain't going with you. If my entire family turns around and walks away and says, I'm not going to heaven, I say, I will see you at the judgment. Because I have one main reason to go to heaven, because I fell in love with a man named Jesus Christ. I want to see him. All he's done for me. All he's done for me. What has he done for you? And yet we have so many other things come up. Why do you want to go to heaven? I want to see Jesus. I can't imagine what it would be like. And if I love him, here's the thing, friends. If you know him, you want more of him. You love him more. You can't know him without loving him that way. And if you don't love him that way, you need to get to know him more. Brother and sister, we got so many things take away our time of fellowship, our time of prayer, our time of talking with him. He should not be just our religion. Well, I go to church every Sunday. I listen to a ministry, you know, through the week. I listen to this person or that. Or, you know, what about your prayer life? Do you pray? Is your prayer, well, I pray every day, every time before I eat and before I go to bed. You're a Catholic. You know what that is? That's a church religion. That's a church relationship. And this is what the Catholics do. You go out and live any way you want because the priest is holy. And the priest prays. And the priest prays for you. And the priest preaches to you. And the priest does all this stuff. And so that's the attitude that people have. I come to church and Brother Jerry will preach. And he'll just preach me happy. And then I'll go out and live any way I want all week long. Oh, I'm a good person. I don't do the bad things. But I sure don't have that relationship with Christ. How much do you really talk to him? How much does he talk to you, I should ask? Because you can pray and pray and pray, and he never speaks back because you're not praying in faith. You're praying just as a Catholic because it's a duty. Where is the token? Where is the atmosphere around you that people want to be around you? Everywhere Jesus went, good things happened. Do you have that same testimony? He said, good things happen. He tore into people. He made, yeah, exactly. He exposed the devil. That's a good thing. He didn't always make people happy, but good things always happen. You know you have, if you are born again, you should have that same thing. Recognize, friends. Oh, my goodness. When you go to Walmart, recognize what you're doing. You're walking right into Satan's Eden, right into his big smorgasbord of spirits, and you're walking through there as a light, and you're saying, I am here as a representative of Jesus Christ. Come and stand against me if you can. What spirit can stand against you? What spirit can defeat you? When you go in as walking as an ambassador from heaven, you're in conflict, you're in presence of how many demons? Look around, look at the people, look how they dress, look how they act. That's what we're here for, to be the ambassador, to stand there and say, I have something for you. I have life. Would you like some life? To be that person, to create that atmosphere, to talk nice to that person, to be something that a person can see something. You don't know who's that next person to be born again. Oh, my friends, the opportunities we have, but we just go about our life all just kind of like close off. I saw this. I was in the airport flying back yesterday from a vacation, and there's this woman. She looked like she was Mennonite. She had this little black thing on her head, and she was, you could see, she was so self-conscious, and I kind of walked by, I said hi, whatever, and she just kind of ducked on by, but when she was, what, she stayed at the corner, and she was so self-conscious, so out of place, I felt so bad. She had no confidence at all. She felt so beat down because she stuck out a little bit. That's an opportunity, friends, not something to feel beat down about. Oh, my. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. Jesus Christ is in you. Do we recognize that? Do we recognize that Jesus Christ is in us? When you look at your brother and your sister, do you see Jesus Christ is in you? Then how do we treat each other? It's amazing. There's no way we believe Jesus Christ is in each other and still treat each other bad. Because if Jesus Christ came walking in here in that corporal body that was crucified, you would not treat him the way we treat each other. You would say the things to him we'd say to each other. Don't even pretend you would. In fact, if Brother Branham came walking in, you wouldn't say the things to him you say to each other. In fact, if some people in here, you wouldn't say those things to each other. If a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. You don't have to rejoice because everyone in church is born again. You don't have to rejoice because people, we have a great church, we have a wonderful time, we praise the Lord, and we worship when we hear the word preached. You can have that if everyone else is sitting there staring at the preacher like a thumb on a log. There's no thumbs all along. But if you're sitting there doing nothing, yet you can know in yourself who you are and that you are a child of God and you are here to worship and you are here to praise and you're here to hear the word of God to use personally because it is an individual walk. He said, don't come this far, say, I believe the message. You obey the message. coming to Christ. You say, oh, I believe every word you said, Brother Branham. That's good. That's just being able to read. Now, I don't know how those message believers who listen to tapes, that they say, as long as you believe everything is true, you have the Holy Ghost. I don't know what they do with that quote, but they have to throw it away. Just believing that everything is said just means you can read. Take the message, take it into your heart that you must have the token, the very life that was in Christ being you. When I see that, I will pass over you. Friends, we're at the end. Look around you. We are at the end. He told us this 60 years ago, you got to have the token. It's got to be on display. That means that when people see you, they see Christ. When they talk to you, they see an attitude. They see Christ, that spiritual attitude that proves that there's something real inside here. I'm not talking about going around being religious. That's demonic. That causes spiritual amnesia. Well, look how good I'm living. Look how I'm talking. See, I'm witnessing to everybody. God never told you to witness to everybody. He said, be led by the Holy Spirit. You just become a reproach. Jesus said, don't cast your pearl before swine. You know, well, how do you know if they're swine or not? Be led by the Holy Spirit. I was at a museum here in Boise a couple days ago, and this man walking around, and I just felt led to go up and talk. And then, you know, my buddy, we wanted to start talking to him. He's a Christian, not a message believer. He's a Christian. And we had some really good fellowship standing out there, you know, among all these museum pieces and all that. He walked away from him and said, I knew God had put on my heart to say that. Is he going to be saved? I don't know. He's living in all the light he can see. He's raising 7 kids, doing as good as he can. I pray for him. God save that man, because he's doing everything he knows to do. But if I'd have looked at him and said, you know what, he's not a believer, I don't have time for him, then I am a Pharisee. Let me get into this last part and we'll try and shut down. If you know who you are, you have the answer to the devil's question. Brother Bram says this, not say, well, glory to God, we shout, hallelujah, we sing. Now, that ain't it. But I shout in church, I preach, that ain't it. I sing all the time, I get so anointed. That ain't it. You can have all that and be a devil. I've seen heathens, devils, everything else, dance and shout, all kinds of fleshly manifestations. That's carnal. He said, I'm talking about the headship of Christ. Notice, being personally identified by the original, where's the original from? Eden. By the original headship. But he personally identified by the original headship, we have the answer to the devil's question. We have the answer to the devil's question. He, Christ, is risen, has paid the price, is raising up the body. The devil can't stand it. What is it? The personal identification of the headship in the body. What does that mean, friends? Oh, my goodness. I don't have a voice left, but I got, oh, help me, Lord. Friends. The headship, that means when the pyramid, you know, the pyramid all through the time has been building up, but that at the very end, that capstone, the headship comes down and sits on it, and the body is complete. Friends, that is not at the rapture when Christ descends. That's not talking about that. That's talking about right now. The bride has the headship. We are identified. That's what the prophet said. Personally, the person, not the church, you, the headship is in you now, personally identified. It has been restored, and this bride has a headship. That capstone has come down. We are, friends, we are manifesting the headship to the body right now. It is the intelligence. It is the word. And they with us cannot be made perfect. Why? Because the bride has been completed. That body of Christ has been completed. Wow, by the original headship identified in you personally. Hallelujah. Personally identified. Christ is here in you. You can't be deceived. Why? Because their intelligence is there. You have dominion. What does headship mean? In this message, I don't have time to read it. Brother Bram said, then that headship is a kingdom. The kingdom of God is within you. What does that mean? The king has taken his throne, and a king has dominion. A king has dominion. We have dominion over sin, over death, over sickness, over addictions, over depression, over mental illness. We have dominion. Do you recognize who you are? The kingdom of God has come. It is within you. Oh, I wish I could say it 1,000 more times. Do we believe that we have dominion over these things that Satan brings against us? All we have to say to Satan is go, and he has to go. Now we are the sons of God. Now we will be. We are. Now we're redeemed. We have Satan's answer. God vindicated himself. Where? In you. Don't look at the prophet. Don't look at someone else. Look at you and see if God is vindicating that you are who you say you are. God proved himself to his promise in this day. The headship is here. Christ, the risen Lord, is here in the same power of his resurrection he ever was, manifesting himself. That's the devil's answer. Satan has a question. Who are you? Shut up, Satan. You know who I am. Jesus Christ, I know. Brother Branham, I know. Brother Jerry, I know. But who are you? You get right back in his face and say, back off, old boy. You know who I am because you know who you are. But if you don't know who you are, he's going to kick you down the road. He's got all kinds of power in this day. He's got all kinds of spirits to work through. You got to know who you are. He said, oh, if I could get the word to see that. Why, there you are. There's the body of Christ living, standing, redeemed. Oh my, justified in his sight. Why are we justified? We are his victory. We are his victory. We are the proof that the message of the hour is true. Every person who wants to come against the prophet and against the message and all the Tim Humeses and Jeff Jenkins will walk away and say it's not true, you're going to have to stand in my face and I'm going to show you that that message is true because I am his victory and it is manifesting itself in me. How do you walk away from that? All they had was a doctrine to believe to begin with and some kind of anointing, gift or something. He said this. That's the reason these ecumenical kings are setting up. That's the reason they're all coming into what they're doing now. The devil, that's the reason he's howling the way he is. His wickedness, his scheme has been uncovered by the risen, resurrected Christ in the headship over his body. What is it? It's the false religion, the false stuff going on, and it's been proven false. Why? Because the bride tree has been restored back to Eden, and that's where we're standing right now, friends. Man was put here with dominion over the earth. He had everything under his control. What Adam lost, Jesus proved he had restored. He stopped nature. He raised the dead, done everything. That also happened in Brother Brad's ministry. Not forced to look back at there, but to recognize what the power within the bride, the authority of the word within the bride to do the very same thing. And people want to just look back at what happened 60 years ago. Friends, I understand that this really brings it straight down because it's you. You can't look at the body and say, well, we do this in our church. What are you doing? What have you been called to do? Where is that relationship with you and Christ, you personally? That's what you're going to stand on. Well, I went to a church. We had all kinds of power and signs and wonders and miracles. Whoop-de-doo. What about you? What part did you have to play in this body ministry of Jesus Christ? Well, I just sat in my church and listened and believed them, and I prayed and I raised my kids. That's all you're called to do? That's a lot. Don't ever try to demean, well, I was just a mom, I was just a dad, whatever. That's one of the greatest callings you can have is to be a parent in this world. Have you looked around and see how people are raising their kids today? And recognize that if you are called to be a parent in this age, you have one of the greatest responsibilities. You have one of the hardest battles to fight. Your battle is harder than standing up here and preaching. Why? Because there's so many spirits coming against you to pervert that little child God gave you. Don't you ever demean your role as a parent, not in this age. You want to demean it? You come to work with me sometime and let me show you what kind of parenting passes for parenting. And let me tell you the things that we teach people how to be parents. It's the most perverted stuff you ever saw. And if you have a child, you make sure you raise that thing so that kid, when they get to an age, they trust the God that you serve. Dominion. You've been given dominion over this world. We're right here in the midst of Satan's Eden. All of hell has been turned loose. 200 million demons have been turned loose against you. And here you have dominion over every last one of them. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against you if you will stand on the authority of the word. Nothing can withstand you. When God made man, he made him a god. He gave him dominion over the earth. But in his fallen state, dropped that. But what they lost by Adam was restored by Christ. Let me finish up here. Okay, I'm good. When you've got the token, it shows you have obeyed every word, that you and the word are one. You become the word, you become that. He said, you're only asking for the thing that you are. You're only asking for the thing you are. You are the word. You are part of Christ. You're part of his body. And so you got, I need this token. I need to see it. I need it on display. I need to have the Holy Ghost, whatever it is. You are that inside, that seed inside of you. It's just trying to become what it is. Just let it grow. Let it come to life. Let it expand. Let it take control of this flesh. Let it take control of your spirit realm. Only asking for what you are. Then you say, if I say, hand, obey me, reach out for the handkerchief. He's like this. So here's the Bible. You just reach out and take it, right? Reach for the hand. It does it. Hand, obey me. Why? It's part of me. And then when you and the word become one, every promise is yours. It obeys you. The Lord obeys you. That just blows my mind. Every promise is yours. It obeys you. Then you want to watch what you want to do with it. Because if you just want to make a show, well, look at me. I have power to do this. I have power to do that. That ain't the Holy Spirit. You want to put your hand in the fire, say, just to see you do it. No. But if there's something in the fire I got to reach for, it'll obey me. You want to watch what you're doing. Do you hear what he's saying? He's saying you and I say, hey, I can put my hand in the fire and not get burned. Look at that. I'm a son of God. What an idiot. Herod wanted Jesus to perform, to be a clown for him. Look at all the people. If you be the son of God, come off the cross. Well, if you're this, do this. Satan wanted him to clown for him. Everyone was, well, if you have the power of God, how come it all happened? What's happening in your life? Let me see it. Jesus just walked away. Don't do that. He said, but if there's something in the fire got to reach for, it'll obey me. Something drops in the fire, whatever it is, you can reach in there and pull it out and nothing's going to hurt. Because you know who you are. He said, you want to watch what you're doing. That's the reason the Holy Spirit is sparingly giving out and things. You know what I mean? A real servant of God don't show off with it. That's making a show. What's he saying? He said, that's the reason God doesn't do it. We don't see more because we don't have the maturity to handle that authority yet. We're still tore up about this and tore up about that, and this person doing that and that person doing that, and I think we should do it this way. I think we do. And we still think we're trying to run the church. That's true, friends. When he had proved that his promise by his great conquering power he had on Easter, he proved he could conquer death, hell, and the grave. I am he that was dead and is alive again and alive forevermore, had the keys to death, hell, and the grave. What a statement for anyone to make. And not only did he make it, but he had already proved that he had what he claimed to have. So he said this, and then he claimed he proved who he was. That was Jesus. And I think God hastened the day that when we as Christians who believe this Bible can prove what we are talking about. He didn't say, oh, you just believe, see it in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. That's good. He said, no, you got to have the same thing. This is what we're called for. Other ages didn't have this, friends. Other ages were not called to this. They were not called to this token life. It wasn't available, but you are. You're going to be accountable for this. That's what makes, as I said a while ago, the salt makes us the salt of the earth. The world is looking for salt. And when we can prove by our lives and by the Bible that our lives are vindicating that the word to be living today, that's the day we're looking for. We have to be able to prove what we're talking about. If someone comes up to you, are you a mess? I am a mess believer. Well, what does that mean? Well, stick around and watch my life for a while. How many times have I failed miserably at this? But it's coming, friends. I see it happen. I see it growing. I'll just talk personally. I see it growing in my life. It's the most exciting thing I've ever seen. It's the most exciting thing to see my nature being changed, my character being changed, all this happening. Satan comes against you and tells you, oh, that ain't you. There's nothing to it. Two more quotes, I'm going to quit. It's only been an hour. He said, Satan comes to say, when you die, you're lost. Say, you're wrong. I have the purchased product. I'm the purchased product. I have the token. What is the token? He knows what it is. Don't fool him. He knows what it is. Don't mess around with him. He's going to say, well, what's the token? Don't even worry about it. You might talk to some of these preachers. They'd argue with you, but not Satan. He knows better. Think about it, friends. He comes and tries to prove you don't have it, argue, and we argue back. What are we, sons of Sceva? Do we know who we are? Do we act like it? Or do we get all tore up because Satan come and tell us something? He knows better. He come against it two or three times, made a mistake at the temptation. Satan knows what you're talking about. Did you hear what he said? Satan knows what you're talking about. He knows what it is. He sees the same life that was in Adam, was in Jesus, and is in you. He sees that he can't deceive you. But we don't believe it. He believes it more than we do. He believes it more than we do. Satan knows what you're talking about. Just show the token. He'll fly. He'll fly. He can't stand it. He has to back off. But you have to know who you are. You have to know the authority of the word. And you and the word have become one. And you're standing there in the very authority of the word. And say, Satan, get out. He has to go. All right. As this author of the book, I can't think of it now, made fun of me, said, of all the devils, it's William Branham. See, that's what the devil tries to say. He said, vision, the thing, that's of the devil. He said, oh, it's some kind of hypnotist, some kind of super sensory perception. The intellectual world always trying to figure it out. That's where they tried to figure out Jesus. How do you do these things? What done it? He said, I'll ask you a question. Was the ministry of John the Baptist, was it God or of man? They said, we can't say. He said, neither do I tell you. That's right, and went on. From thenceforth, no man asked him anything. He just cut them off. Don't sit there and fuss and argue and stew about something. If they're going to have an attitude, just God bless you and walk away. But make sure you don't mirror that same bad attitude. He cut them off. He didn't tell them nothing about it. None of their business. He had a work to do. He finished it. God help us to do the same thing. God help us to do the same thing. We have a work to do. Let's finish it. God help us to just say, we don't have to answer the devil's question. If thou be, do so and so. What's he trying to do? Try to get us to kind of, well, if you really are a minister, Brother Phil, you should cast out this devil. You should heal this person. You should raise this person from the dead. Yo, shut up, Satan. When God puts on my heart to cast out devil, I cast it out. When God puts on my heart to pray for somebody, I pray for somebody. When God puts on my heart to be quiet, I be quiet. I don't have to answer. I don't have to clown for the devil and his religion. You're responsible for that gospel. A preacher, that's all. Not how it's written. It's just responsible for saying it. Who are you? Now, let me ask that one more time. Who are you? Do you have that relationship with Jesus Christ? Because, see, we have struggle. Well, the reason we don't know who we are is because we don't have that relationship, friends. That's the problem. We have a church relationship. We get anointed when we come to church, but at home, we're just busy. Busy. Well, I listen to tapes. That's good. You should listen to all the tapes you can. It's not what I'm talking about. Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you love him more than everything else in the world? Does your life prove it, or is that just a word you're saying? What's your daily walk look like? How often do you just, it's just you and him just having conversations? Well, I don't have time. I'm raising my kids. I'm working. Got to provide for my family. Well, when you're in the tribulation and your kids say, Daddy, why are we in the tribulation period? What you worrying about, kid? You got enough to eat. You got a nice house to live in. What's your excuse going to be? Didn't have time. Wasn't so important. See, this is where people want Jesus to be their Savior, not their Lord. Just save me. You said, okay, you will. If I'm not your Lord, you're not going into rapture. Token on display. You can't know him. I'm quitting, I promise you. You can't know him beyond just a shallow relationship without wanting more of him. You can't know him. Something inside you, I know him, but I just long for him. The more I get to know him, the more I long for him. I cry out, God, reveal yourself. Show, talk to me. I want to know more of you. I don't have time to do these other things because I got to spend, I got to know more of God. And it's not, I'm just trying to miss the hell. I'm just trying to go in the rapture. That's not it, friends. I want all that. That's just the periphery. That's just the benefits of it. But to know him, that love for him, and you love him more than anything. He loves you more than anything. And your life is focused on him. Here's what people do. They find a purpose in their life, then they attach religion to it. Let Christ be the purpose of your life and everything else attached to that. That puts you in the rapture, friends. I'm not preaching anything you haven't heard before. Satan's doing all he can to keep you from that relationship. Well, I know I'm born again, Brother Phil. Does your life testify it or just your mouth? I'm not de-Christianizing anybody. I'm saying that the word is coming and telling you that we have to keep moving forward, keep going up, keep moving up. Don't get satisfied. Don't sit back. You know, keep pressing on. Because we are so close, friends. We got to be so close. I said it last time I preached. You know how I know it's so close? Not so much because of the darkness out there, but the light in here. That's how you know how close you are, friends. Because there's light in the evening time. Isn't that good? God bless you. Go ahead and stand. God is good all the time. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He doesn't tell things. I know some of the things are hard. It cut me. I guess, I don't know if it cut you or not, it cut me. But I appreciate it because it means that he loves me. It means he's not just going to let me wander off like so many people just wander off here and they wander off there and God just lets them go. But certain people, he don't let you go. He says, you're not going anywhere. You're mine. You're one that the Father has given me. And I will not lose a one. And here we are at the very end, friends. We're at the very end. He said, come on, friends. Come on, keep coming. Keep coming. Don't get slack. This Laodicean age is all about lukewarm. He said, be zealous to repent. What is repent? You still have to repent. You're a born-again preacher. I know. I have to repent more than anyone else. But friends, it's all about, Father, forgive me my thoughts. Forgive me of taking that attitude. Forgive me. Lead me. Keep me coming. Forgive me for being satisfied. Forgive me for wanting some ambitious something or other. Forgive me and just let me be focused on you. He says, now you're coming the way I want you to be. Humble yourself to such a point. Humble yourself to such a point. He says, now I can use you. He wants to use every one of us for him to put in his body to manifest Christ, friends. We've got our minds, so many things. Satan has us billions of things to get your mind focused on that. I was ready to go to bed last night and something come up and next thing you know, and almost an hour later, I'm looking at myself and said, Phil, you idiot.
You need to be sleeping. It wasn't bad stuff. It was like good, you know, what I was doing. But it's like, Phil, it wasn't necessary. If you're going to stay up that long, pray. Get ready for tomorrow morning. You got to preach. So I repent. Our biggest repentance, friends, is not for... Try to quit, friends. I'm promising you. Our biggest repentance is not for the things we do wrong.
No, it's not.
It's for your religious attitudes in this age. It is. Because we had so much religion pumped into our minds over the years that was false. And Satan takes those religious spirits and uses them to get us to think certain ways and believe certain things. And things come up and say, yeah, but Phil, that's the wrong attitude. But it makes me feel religious. That's what Laodicea was about. I have need of nothing. I'm a messy believer. I'm increased with goods. He said, repent, because even though you are a messy believer, you have it, you still have a lot of junk you're dragging along with you.
That's right.
Lord Jesus, I so appreciate you coming and speaking this morning. Father, we're just grateful that you would come and just expose the word to us in a way, Lord Jesus, just that we can take a hold of it and move forward. Father, I pray that each heart here would receive all that you have for them, Lord. And maybe for some hearts it's a little bit, maybe for others it's a lot. Whatever it is, Father, you will pour in all that we empty up for you to have. You will fill anything we give to you, Father. You will take anything we offer to you as long as we just let you have it, Father. So I pray that, Lord, each heart would just open up and just let your word come and just have the effect that you want in it. Have the effect on us, Lord Jesus. Let that token be so on display that people around us, we see it. We're not secret boys and girls. We have publicly displayed this token. We're not ashamed to be identified. We're not ashamed to bear the reproach, the persecution. We're not ashamed of you, Lord Jesus, because our love counteracts anything like that. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus. We just want, Lord, more of you than we've ever had. More of you than we've ever had, Lord Jesus. Let me play something soft for you. I'm just going to ask everyone just to bow your heads and just take a minute now and just search your heart. See what is holding back. See what part in your spirit realm, see what part of your flesh, whatever it is that's holding back that you want to give to God, that God wants more of you, and you know he wants it. He wants that religion. He wants that sense of whatever it is that you're holding on to. He wants that pride. He wants that protecting, you're protecting yourself. He wants all that. If you could just give it to him. I'm asking if you would just do that now, if you would just surrender whatever you're holding on to, whatever he brings to your mind. He says, that's what I want from you, child. This is what I want from you. I want to display myself to you, but you're holding something back from me. I don't believe there's any person who doesn't still have some of that going on this earth. We still need to get rid of more and more of our own flesh, our own nature. Lord Jesus, we ask you to come, Lord. And just let the Holy Spirit come down and burn that out of us. Let the Holy Spirit come down and just take that place, Lord, that maybe we've held on for all this time. I ask for this, Lord, in your name. We take the authority of the word. We take dominion over these things that resist us. We take dominion over, in the name of Jesus Christ, Satan, you have to let go. You have to back off. Just go. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, we claim healing for every person in here. We claim deliverance for whatever the situation is, for every addiction, for every besetting sin, Lord Jesus. We just claim the word of God over that situation. Child.